Today is day number five. I always I feel like every day is a week for me. I'm not sure why. It's like time is faster and slower. So everything is, I didn't have a concept of what day it was, that it was a weekend day. It just, you know, there's just like everything is just a day and you're just in the now and that's all it is, you know. So, but it is day number five for those who might be joining us, listening to this later. We're welcoming your presence. And many of you have written to me and let me know how this has been so helpful. So we feel you here with us. And this is our Coronavirus Miracles Healing Group. And I love saying that each time because it reminds me of our purpose. It reminds me why we're joining, which is very important to keep reminding why we're joining. And while I was reflecting, I had received so much. I call those like those downloads you get from spirit, like these downloads were coming yesterday and I couldn't keep up. There was so much coming. And then today, I didn't feel prompted, not yet anyway, to go back to reading because I felt we're in the phase of absorbing. We want to pause with what we've received and, you know, not be like those eager beavers that we've got to go move ahead or, you know, let's get to the end of the road. It's really like sinking with these teachings and applying them and seeing where we meet the roadblocks and what comes up. So what I thought I would do is share a little bit of what came up for me. And yesterday there was the announcement of after 8 o'clock tonight, right? There's going to be this lockdown in New York State. And so everyone is really encouraged to stay inside and minimize going out, just essential stuff. So we know the restaurants and all that stuff, many are closing, but grocery stores, banks, you know, pharmacies are still going to be operational. So, you know, you hear that word lockdown, right? Lockdown. And it's a very strong word, lockdown. And so there can be this, I observed in myself the sense of like, I'm locked down. Like, what does that mean? And my mind went to my parents who are, you know, they're in their 80s. My mom is like 78. My dad's in his 80s. And they don't drive. And so I was like, oh, how is that going to be for them? And then what about their caretaker? And, you know, what's going to happen? And so it was going into the what if, what if. And I watched that. I just watched it. And at the same time, I started to pray and I started to ask for help. You know, help me with the spirit. I'm noticing what's coming on and I want help here. And it was a beautiful experience because in the middle of what seemed like this is going to be a mushrooming fear, there was also this calm presence and it was there. And so I could allow the calm presence to be while the fear was coming up. It wasn't like I had to pretend I was not fearful or try to do like, you know, it shouldn't be this way or why is this coming up? There was just like, oh, okay, it's here. You know, it's like that poem from Rumi, the guest house, this guest is here now. So let's welcome them in and see what is this about. And it was interesting how my mind went to that and not about myself or this or that. So that's what the ego does. It gets very fragmented, you know, and in the fragmentation, if we don't bring the presence of spirit, that fragmented view becomes everything you see. Like you don't see anything else. Like, you're in that panic space, and in that panic space, it's a hyper alert place, but it's about survival. It's not alert and relaxed. It's about survival. So it's going to go into like this, like we're going to die here, you know, like, this is it. It's going to be like the worst, the mind is not going to be in a space where it can listen. Like the mind is in need of healing. Right? Because the fear has come up and anything opposite love, anything opposite peace is a call for love. It's a call for healing. So that's come up. So the mind needs healing. And yet the ego doesn't invite the healing. what it does is it gets locked down, right? It gets locked down into this space and you can't see above it. You can't see around it. You're just like, there's just, this is happening. And then the sense of it's me and I have to do this. And so then I was feeling like, huh, does this mean that should I think about being there for them? Because if they can't, and if I should do that, then maybe I need to fly tonight or tomorrow, right? So then it was like, I was watching the minds, and I even went on JetBlue and I was looking at like, what are the tickets? Are they even open? Are they flying? Like, what's going on? So I watched that. I watched all of that happen. And at the same time, there was a prayer. Help me, Spirit. Help me. Help me with this. You know? So it was like, I was so grateful that that habit of asking for help is getting strengthened. You know, it's like a habit. It's like a habit that we're cultivating. And I feel that for most of us right now, if we've been of the habit that I can do this alone, I mean, this coronavirus is bringing us down to our knees, right? It literally is bringing down to us, to our knees. And there's a real blessing in that, because it's like we're this raft on this ocean, a little raft on this huge ocean, and there's a big ocean liner that's right there. It's stable, it's steady, it's got all the supplies you need, all the people are there that can help you, but we insist that I want to be on my raft, and I'll get there. You know, my way, I'll do it my way, right? Like the Frank Sinatra, I did it my way, the Frank Sinatra song, you know? So we have that like bravado, you know, like, no, I'm going to do this. I can do this, right? You know, just say you can and you'll do it. And this is not about that, because that's not going to cut it. It just is not going to cut it. And we're all being shown the need for interdependence, which was always there. Right? The interconnectedness, which was always there. This is nothing like it wasn't there before, but the circumstances are such that they're really accelerating that. They're accelerating it where we don't have that choice. And thank God that we don't, because we're really actually falling into the truth of what has always been. So our friend Joe, he gave that beautiful example of the upside down perception. And in the course, it talks about that we have this upside down perfection, so a perception. So think of it like a triangle, you know, think of the triangle, the base is here and it's on this little point. So it looks very stable here, but it's resting on this little point. It's not stable. And yet that's what we think is really stable. And now it's being turned, right? Joe was talking about this idea. It's being turned and it feels really uncomfortable. But when we settle, we're on a strong base. So that's what's happening with the mind. And so this was going in my mind and I'm watching it and then I'm asking and I'm, you know, there's a beautiful prayer in the course. Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say and to who? So everything is like, guide me. And then I got the sense, okay, my brother is there. He's a physician and let me reach out to him. And I thought about it. And then I felt a little like, well, he's really very much in a medical mold. So I'm not sure if I'm quite ready, you know, because that's not the joining I need. So then the discernment came in like, okay, what feels comfortable? I said, no, I don't feel that's quite ready yet. Let me wait on that. I did then feel the prompt to connect with my ex-husband. He's a physician as well. And he's here in Rochester. And then I was wanting to feel from him if that were a possibility, what about my son? And, you know, so it was just this exploration. It was like, okay, let's just see, Spirit. Where is the door that opens that feels like there's the ease? So the fear is there and the fear is asking for love. The fear is asking for love and light. So we don't deny it. We don't push it down, but we give it what it's asking for and we let the one that knows answer that call, not the one that created the fear, right? Which is the ego mind. We don't want to go there because that's where this problem is coming from. So it's like, I give this analogy of like, you need an operation. You can't operate on yourself. You can't operate on yourself. You need to go to a doctor, and the doctor will prepare you and do what's necessary and ask you, you know, whatever. So it's almost like we need, like, there's a lesson in the course, truth will correct all the errors in my mind. Truth will correct all the errors in my mind. So it's kind of like, okay, let me be present here and let this be corrected. Let this be corrected by the one who can give me the correction, which is not of me. Because I'm kind of like, my mind is sick right now. My mind needs help. So as I joined with my ex-husband, we were talking and I asked him how it's going and what he's seeing and what's going on and all of that. And it was so beautiful because, you know, he's been such a teacher of forgiveness to me. Like, there's been so much forgiveness lessons that I have received from him. And it's been beautiful to see all the miracles that have happened. Just that I could go and do that, you know, showed me all the forgiveness that had happened. So that was a beautiful reminder of the fruits of the mind training, you know, the fruits. Like, you put that money in the bank and you can cash it now. It's here for you. You can use it. So as I joined with him, I realized that, yeah, it wasn't just about me, the body of Seema and the body of her parents. Like, again, that's a fragmented view. Yesterday I shared that diagram where I had all the circles, right? So it was like going into a subcircle of family and friends, and that subcircle happened to be the parents, right? So there's what the ego does. It gets specific in a very locked down kind of way that you don't feel like you can breathe and you don't really have realm of possibility. But as I joined with my ex-husband, we were talking and I said, yeah, no, Ritesh, my son needs to stay here because you're still working. And, you know, chances are, you know, you're going to be taking care of people that could have this, and that's what you need to do. So I really feel for us to do what's needed in this time, you know, to be of service and take care of ourselves. I don't want you to have to think about our son like that. That feels like he needs to stay here. So there was the other thing. It was coming in. So if someone was going to go, it was going to be both of us. It wasn't going to be. So, and it was so beautiful because just in my doing that, I felt myself relax because I was feeling like I was stepping out. You know, I was watching. I was watching and seeing, okay, let me get the lay of the land here. I don't have to put a microscope on this and let this fear mushroom, you know, mushroom out of proportion, but just step back. And as I did that, I connected with my son. I connected with another friend. So I kept joining. I kept joining with my brothers and sisters, exposing my fear, exposing that this is what's coming up for me. What feels like would be the most helpful? And there was no like panic. There wasn't an alarm, like an emergency, like I've got to put up this fire. I spoke to the caretaker, you know, and then I think at the end of the day, I spoke to my mom this morning and, you know, she was in a good space, but even before that, I could feel that while I was cooking, so this is a beautiful thing that of the practice that we're doing. We can do it anytime. You know, it isn't just confined to 10 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes at night. It's literally all the time. You know, there's a beautiful lesson again in the course. The God's voice speaks to me throughout the day. The voice of wisdom speaks to me throughout the day. Love is with me throughout the day, 24/7. You know, no appointment needed. There's never going to be a shortage. There's never going to be a lack. And this is another big learning that's coming to us when we see outside a lack of something, not enough tests, not enough resources, not enough beds, not enough ventilators, right? All of these ideas, let's bring them in. Let's just bring them in. Let's not try to debate, but let's bring them in and say, well, in love, there is love for everyone. So as I was cooking, I was feeling, I was like, thanks, Spirit. So tell me, where am I to be? I'm, you know, please tell me. And it was so beautiful. I heard, for me, it's usually Jesus or Mary Magdalena or, you know, the gods, whoever I'm connecting with at that moment. They were like saying to me, you know, Seema, you've stepped forth and here you are serving and helping and wanting to be of service. Don't you think you're going to be taken care of? Like, don't you think your family's going to be taken care of? Like, why would you be outside of the ark of safety? Let's put it that way. Why would you be left outside? And it just, I could feel like my body, like the kinesthetic sense, like, yes, that's it. That's it. And I could feel myself rest. I could feel the calm. And it just continued. And then when I, and you know, and during this time, I'm still continuing, like doing what's needed to get the recording ready and, you know, asking a friend to help me with what I need in terms of the audio stuff. So the body is moving, you know, it's still, and the mind training is continuing and the help is coming, the messages are coming. So it can be this beautiful dance that we're doing with spirit. You know, it's not like people say, well, you know, sometimes people have this perception that it's like this sense of peace or inner peace is somehow divorced from the outer world. And my experience has never been like that. It's always been so practical. You know, it's been so, so rich and so helpful and so healing. Like every aspect of it, because I was learning to trust my brothers. I was learning to hear the voice of spirit through them. You know, which is a big lesson to continue deepening that lesson that it's here, but it's here, it's here, it's here, because love is everywhere. We need the eyes, not these eyes, right? We need the inner eyes to see it, feel it, know it, experience it. So, and this morning, it just seemed like there was a flood of all of these positive posts on Facebook that I seem to be receiving. You know, this actor who he's Hawaiian origin, and he was just talking about how he came down with COVID and then he went to Hawaii and just expressing and sharing, and how some people are afraid to talk about that because there might be a stigma, and just, you know, just vocalizing it and asking and apologizing to people. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had it. And if I exposed you, and, you know, such transparency, you know, such beautiful, just here it is. This is what it is. And this is what I'm doing. And this is how I'm feeling and all of that. And then again, I saw a clip about the people in China celebrating the closing of the hospitals, like all gathering together, you know, and thanking everyone and all of that. And there was more about the tests now. Someplace, I don't know if it's Michigan or where I read, but within hours you can find out. So it just seemed to be. And then finally, there was this beautiful video, which I'm going to try to see if I can find it and share for us probably tomorrow. And it was this woman just like, thank you, coronavirus. Thank you for all the gifts, all the gifts. And it was almost like I could feel like, yeah, something has shifted in consciousness. You know, there's just been this, as again, if we could use Joe's analogy, like there's that turning, you know, just something has just turned, just a little bit of comfort, a little bit of comfort. And to me, The symptoms that those who have had the virus, the symptom of the breathing and the pain in breathing, that's been something many have been talking about. I know that one of the meditations we did, it was coming through about breathe the heart open, you know, breathe it open. And it's going to be a little painful. Like a mom, you know, a baby being birthed, the labor pains, there's pain. There's pain. And I remember when I was having my son, it took all of my focus to be present. Like I couldn't be anywhere else, you know, before, I mean, while they were doing like a natural, and then ultimately it ended up being a C-section. But while I was laboring, all my training was like, I could just be here. I couldn't be anywhere else. Like if I went anywhere out, the pain just went up like that, you know, and I got to watch the mind and the power of the mind when it's present and focused and right here, and when it goes out over here, you know? So I feel that this experience of it was painful to breathe, it's like the lockdown feeling. It's painful, but let's look at it even more deeply. We come from spirit. You know, this huge, expansive, infinite being, and we come into this little body, and then we forget. I mean, that's painful. In the there's a series called the Born Legacy. And how he forgets, he has amnesia, right? He doesn't remember who he is. And he was coming to my mind because I've watched those series a while ago, and how painful it was that he forgot. How painful. And how most of the series is about him trying to remember, like he really wants to remember. So I feel like that's our call here to remember. And the pain is a part of it. The fear is a part of it. The panic is a part of it. The suffering seems to be a part of it, but that's not the purpose. Like, it's really important for us to remember that's not the purpose. So this is not like when the ego mind's purpose are about punishment, about guilt, you know, about unworthiness, about you're not good enough, this isn't enough. So let's be very vigilant for those purposes. You know, for me, it was like, you know, like somehow like I won't listen enough, or I'm not going to be enough. You know, here I am wanting to be of service and I won't be able to do it. You know, like that fear was coming up. So whatever it is, let's be transparent. Let's not hide it. You know, whatever your mind training healing process looks like, you know, engage. Susan talked about drawing yesterday, and that's beautiful. Whatever it looks like, you know, like bring it up. Do not hide it, because it's only going to grow. It's only going to grow. And in the light, in the spaciousness, it's like, you know, the heart opens. You know, we can breathe just little baby breaths, and trusting that when I ask, I am a child of God, I am a child of this universe, I will be answered. The answers will come. They will come. And I just have to keep giving my willingness, keep remembering my purpose, and keep joining, keep asking for help. This is not like I'm going to do it by myself. You know, there's no need to, you know, that's not the hero's journey that we're talking about. So I'm just going to take a sip of water here. Yeah, and I'm going to share one more story, and then I'm going to probably lead us in a meditation. The story of the Buddha and his awakening was coming to my mind. And there's a movie that I watched with about him. And it was this scene where his father had tried to protect him from all the ills of the world. Because when he was born, the holy man, the wise man, he was born. It's now part of Nepal, but it was originally part of India. So all the wise men, the holy men, you know, he was born a prince. They all came. And one holy man told the father of Siddhartha, before he became the Buddha, that was his name, your son will either be the world's greatest ruler or its most powerful redeemer. He would do one or the other. And guess what the father wanted for him? He wanted him to be the most powerful ruler. That's what he wanted. So it's kind of like the Truman Show, you know, the Truman Show, the movie, where he created this artificial environment for him. So anyone who was old, like had gray hair, anyone who was sick, and obviously dying, you know, or death or anything, he never saw it. So he was raised in this very beautiful environment, you know, the palace for the spring season, a palace for the monsoons, a palace for the winter, you know, all of that. Married a beautiful woman, had a, you know, a baby boy, just servants upon servants. But then one day he got curious, like, what's outside this palace? And he made his charioteer take him out. And then those are the three signs in those who subscribe to the Buddhist tradition. You know, he saw a man who was old. He saw someone who was sick. And then finally he saw a funeral pyre, cremation, you know, someone being cremated. And so he saw death. And he was like a little child. He was like, this exists? Like, this can happen? I mean, will it happen to me? And his charioteer was like, yeah, you know, suffering and death, everyone will go through that. So that just turned his whole, talk about turning your world upside down. That totally turned it. And it's so interesting, right? So the Buddha was cradled in the lap of comfort, right? Really had no reason to do anything but be there. But there had been that prophecy. There had been that call that was there. And he answered it. He fulfilled it. And so he leaves the palace. And when he leaves the palace, it's so heavily guarded because his dad has, you know, guarded it, so he'll never go out. Something amazing happens because his mind is awakening, and the Buddha or Buddha means the awakened one. So he's awakening. And as he's awakening, this sleep descends on all the palace guards and all the people in the palace, and they just fall into this like deep lethargic sleep. And he basically quietly leaves, you know, and he's able to go. And then he goes on his journey. And when he sits under the Bodhi tree, until he will get, what is this? What is the nature of truth? Like that determination in his mind, it's like Jesus going into the desert. All the temptations come. You know, he has these images of these women and money and fear and demons and everything and the waves. But he holds on to his purpose. He holds on to his purpose until he awakens. And then, you know, there's all these teachings that are shared. So I was thinking about him, and I was saying that he awakened because of this deep call, even in this cradle of comfort. And we are in this space where we're in the suffering, you know, but the purpose is still the same. You know, the purpose is still the same. The call to awaken, to know who I am, like the Jason Bourne, like, who am I? You know, who am I? He has this drawer that he opens in one scene and all these passports of different people he's been, right? But who am I truly? So ask yourself that question. You know, do I want to know myself just as this body that could get sick? Or do I want to know my loved ones just as their body who could get sick and all that? Now, having said that, like we said, we're still doing all the measures, right, that the body needs. But once we've done that, right, and sometimes if we're feeling like we can't do enough, that might be another reason to say, what is this for? What is this about? What can I learn here? What is this wanting to show me? Is there some aspect of me that's hiding? Like the Buddha, I was feeling this sense of dissatisfaction. Everything seemed perfect. In the Truman Show, the main character, Truman, he's like, this can't be the world. There's got to be more. Like, what if I go towards the edge and they won't let him go? They won't let him go there, you know? So it's like we're being pushed, but we can breathe into the discomfort. No, we can just let ourselves breathe. So that's all I want to share that's coming. And I'd like us to spend a little time in a bit of quiet right now, and just to lead you into a bit of an inner experience. And then I'd like to, as usual, open it up for a conversation, because I always want to hear what all of you are experiencing. Okay? All right. So I'm just going to, okay. So just let yourself be easy. Let us come into this moment with everything that seems to be before us and everything that seems to be in our minds. Hiding nothing, bringing all of us right here. Nothing, no one is excluded. Everyone and everything is welcome. We're wanting to experience that space within us that knows no suffering, that knows no loss, where there is abundance of love, of light, of comfort. It's the oasis in the desert. Coming out of the scorched sun and resting here. Laying our head down. Taking nice, deep, easy breaths. Letting the breath expand. Expanding the chest and the lungs. Letting the spirit be the breath, breathing the lungs. Any discomfort, just being gentle, just softening. No need to resist. Nothing to push, nothing to pull, nothing to make happen. Letting spirit breathe for us. Letting the breath expand in the chest, down to the toes, deep, deep, deep. And letting go. Letting the breath go above to the head, the neck. Just softening, soothing, comforting. The great comforter is here with us, healing every wound, every pain with the balm of love. Perhaps you see this as a light, or you feel it as a sensation, but it is real. It's not your imagination. Let this balm soothe you and comfort you. Let your weary head rest. Just letting the breath move, letting spirit breathe you. And we can join in saying, Spirit, or God, or Allah, or inner wisdom, or love, or peace, Jesus, whatever name is your comfort. I want to give you everything that is hidden within me that I have been afraid to look at. I want to place it on this beautiful altar and give it over to you. You take it. I don't know what it is even or how to deal with it, but I know you do. So you might imagine a huge golden plate. Or perhaps it's something you put on a boat and let it sail away. You just feel a sense of lightness. However you do this is good. And if your mind is heavy with concern for a beloved or a situation, bring them in. Invite them in. Open the door for the stranger. let them in. We need not solve problems or fix things. All we're being asked to do is be a bearer of light, the light of love, the light of spirit, the light of the comforter, the healer, deep within us. We bring everything into that space, including ourselves. There is so much love here, so much light. And we can look upon our beloved one, or if it's a number of beloveds that come, it does not matter, and say to them, you seem to be suffering. You seem to be having this very difficult experience. Yet still there is light. Still there is love within you. I join with that love. I invite that love. And I trust Spirit is taking care of everything, beyond my understanding. Imagine the light growing. Like when we're driving, you see a little light peeking through something, and then suddenly it's fully lit. The sky is fully lit. There is a cry in the world for this light. Let us give this world the purpose of each one of us opening to experience this light more and more and more. Let us give our willingness to join together in this mighty, wondrous, beautiful, amazing purpose of opening the heart, breathing the heart open, opening these inner eyes, the inner vision that has been sleeping, the heart that perhaps is dormant in places, now is opening. The eyes are opening to see the light. And if there is a little discomfort, that's okay. It's part of the opening. It's part of the healing. This inner light blesses all. Doesn't discriminate, doesn't exclude, doesn't quantify or qualify or analyze. The light just wants to pour through us. That's all it wants to do. So let's join in our willingness to allow. Let's allow it. It is our birthright. So we are only asking for that which is already ours to ask for. A treasure we have had always. And now we are ready to experience it. Can you feel the sense of anticipation, the hush, just a sense of knowing the light is here. The light is truly, truly here. Let us give our thanks. Let us rejoice that the light is here. I bow to the coronavirus for its power to bring this light forth. And I trust that it is here for the healing of the whole planet. Namaste. So, thank you, everyone. Yeah. I just wanted to say hello to some others that had joined while I was talking. I see Lauren and Hazel and Jessica and Siska and Kathy and Lisa and Catherine. Yes. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Okay. This is so beautiful, this time that we spend together. It is so precious. It is so precious. Such a treasure. Okay, so I'd like to just invite you to share whatever is on your heart. Really, whatever is on your heart. Looking at Barbara, she looks very relaxed and very comfortable. I love that. I love when we can just, you know, just snuggle up and just be cozy and, you know, like those fireside chats, like let's just all be together. Yeah, it's really nice. Anyone want to share? Jessica, okay.
So yeah. Nice to see people looking so happy and blissful and just moving into this kind of like peace and acceptance and finding some good in a tragedy, essentially. Like, this is our time to shine and help people and grow and heal. And we're, some of it may be forced that we're like, have to be inside and this and that, but there's good that can come from it. And it's good to see kind of the transition of, and it's so important, you know, all the stages and being together in the fear and the panic and the sadness and the anger, but also starting to experience some of the positive too.
Yeah, it feels that way, right? There's like a turn. I agree. Yeah. It's almost like when you have a, I don't know, when you're young and you have a cold, I remember, I could feel it turn, like when you're going to get better, like for, before you actually got better, like something shifted inside. And if there's like a collective body, like it feels to me that something just shifted. It doesn't mean we're done, but something has shifted. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that beautiful reflection. And you're feeling better. So it's nice to see that as well. I can feel it from you. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. And it was really reassuring too, to hear you talk about like breathing into the pain, because it's such a new type of pain and it's going down, but it's nothing I've experienced before. And I feel like I had it before. It was like widespread. Like, this is a possible symptom. Like, they're saying trouble breathing, fever, cough. And I'm like, why am I experiencing this? So in some way it brings comfort knowing others are experiencing something similar and that we can just breathe through it. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world, the end of us. We can breathe through and give it all our focus and comfort and push those lungs even if they don't want to go, because we're growing.
Yeah. Lovely. There's that warrior spirit. Nice. Okay. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you so much. Okay. Mary, I was, you know, it's funny, even before you raised your hand, I was feeling, yeah.
Oh,
did you raise?
Funny.
I was feeling something just coming. I don't know. It felt like I could.
Yeah, I wanted to, there was a part of me that was like, speak up. But I was like, no, I want someone else to. But so Jessica, thank you. That's beautiful. And yeah, this is a day, today the focus is love. And I'm feeling that antidote, that, you know, the virus of fear. I saw something, on a quick foray. I went to Facebook and there was somebody had posted something about, I'm infected with the virus of love. And it just felt so different reading that. It's like the fear just dissipated. The last couple of days for me have been grief days. And when Joe expressed, yesterday on the, I was headed to Kansas City, which is where I am now. And, when Joe mentioned talked about the earth, the upside down perception is now turned sideways. I had this vision of maybe like a scene from the Titanic where we're sideways. We haven't uprighted. And everybody's just grabbing and clinging and trying to protect their, you know, clutching. And it just resonated with me so strongly. I was like, that's what it feels like. And it feels like, I know it's going to upright, but we don't know when and we don't know how. And we're all trying to do it ourselves, and it's just not working, because we have no control. We have totally are all, you know, we've gone from collective panic attack to we're moving into the collective don't know mind. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know, and we're doing everything we can, but the, you know, for me, it's what's happening is I'm seeing an opportunity to grieve. I've been doing so much cathartic grieving and crying, and mm-hmm. You know, anger would come up, and then it would turn to grief. I'm watching my family, you know, be so fearful, and my kids telling me what's going on, and I'm like, oh, I just can't take this, you know. And I'm like, why? I'm supposed to be the mother here. I'm supposed to be helpful, and I'm not being helpful. Mm-hmm. And but it's I'm seeing that it's just such an opportunity for forgiveness. I'm getting to see it with the love eyes of love. But I had to, it's like you kind of had to walk through the fear first, and I still am seeing that, but it's less and less every day. And it, you know, these labor pains, we just, like you say, we have to be totally focused in the now, in this moment. And in the now I'm seeing the light starting to come on. I was just exhausted, you know, just exhausted from all of this and trying to be love. But I, you know, it's like at first I had to clear a space. And because yesterday I had trouble, you know, I was so in, my mind was so scattered, I couldn't even get present. But I slept this morning. I didn't wake up till 9:23, and then the couple of things that I got to look at from my emails, one from John Monday and one from Judith Scutch, and both of them were about this is you know, the love. It's about the antidote of love and the virus. But what came to me, this is what was so powerful yesterday on my trip back. While listening to you guys, I got this down, you know, you're talking about your downloads, but while I was driving, I got this download. It was like, Jesus is telling me this is the second coming. It's this, you know, the, what people biblically have been talking about, waiting for the second coming. And it was like, this is it. This is a virus of love, but the second, it's like the, this is, but it's coming. It's not coming physically like Jesus did. It's coming in our hearts, and it's turning us, you know, it's Jesus is, you know, Jesus or love or whatever. Holy Spirit is all here for us. And I am feel so blessed that I know this. I know this even, you know, when I can let go of the fear and let go of what's going on with my family and how they're, it seems like they're totally wrapped up in the fear. And it's like, you know, I don't have to fix any of that. That was my frustration. I couldn't seem to help them. I couldn't seem to, you know, give them any peace, but it was because I had some, you know, they're showing me that there's still some fear I need to release. And that is the coming of the light. And so, yeah, we're just sideways, but we're turning. You know, each time we're turning a little bit each day, and I'm seeing it today in this group, you know, we're starting to turn towards the light. And so there's less and less clinging. It's like we're more, there's more acceptance and knowing that, you know, God's got this. We're okay. And listening to my church service of this new church I've got and the beauty and how they're reaching out and with thousands, they're helping thousands of people a day get food. It's like they turn the sanctuary that's closed down into a place of food, and they've got thousands of pounds of food coming in. And then they ask the people to volunteer, if they wanted to volunteer, if they call in their heart to volunteer. There were some people that they said they would not. They, if you're older, you can do prayer, you can do, you know, there are things that you can do. It's like, but we want the younger people to help us with the, you know, giving out the food or stacking the food, helping with that. And it was just like, it was my message that, no, you're not to get out there. You can pray now. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you can be the prayer. You can be the giver of love from within. It's like, that's what Jesus really did for us. It was always, it's like, I'm starting to be able to embrace the second coming. And I have been clinging because I didn't know where that was coming from. I thought, you know, I just had this notion that, I'm back to guidance. I'm back to know, you know, tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to what's mine to give. And it's feeling very much more peaceful and much more beautiful. And, thank you. I just had to share that. So thank you again, Seema. Oh, this is such a gift. And it's a gift to the world. It's like, you know, there's 15 people here, but it's spreading. This is the gift. This is the light. So thank you. It's so beautiful to share it with you guys.
Thank you, Barry. Yeah, I could feel it. That was bursting forth. I felt it even before you raised your hand. So. Definitely. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you. Hmm. Hey, Maria. Hi.
So, I would like to share just a little thought today, because while I was listening to Mary and to Jessica and many others, I reflected about the fact that this group is really a blessing for me and for everyone who is joining every day. And I can only say that the more I stay with you in connection, the more I have the feeling that even if I'm not a native English speaker, when I speak to you, I really have a communication. Mm-hmm. While with my fellow Italians right now, I have to translate. You understand?
Yeah.
So because in this group, there is a real intention, a real shared intention, a real will to join in love, to join towards the light. And this is what a community has to do in a moment of crisis, in a moment of difficulties, to join the mind, to join the heart, and to join intention. So I just want to thank you all, everyone, for being present, for being mindful, for being open to speak to each other in freedom and without guilt, without any kind of judgment towards the situation or towards each other's behavior or each other's feelings or emotions. I think this is the real gift and the real reason for which human beings have to came into communion somewhere, everywhere, even in the virtual world. So the real gift is this, no? Being around the world, some one of you are together in the same geographical space. Some of us are not in the same geographical space, but we are under the same sky right now. And we are looking to the same sun, just at different hours during the day. Mm-hmm. So, grazie. Grazie, grazie, grazie. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is the most important appointment of the day for me. I just wake up in the morning thinking, oh, today at 4 p.m. o'clock, I will join with my friends all around the world. And I'm not alone. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Lauren. I don't think I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
It's Lauren. I'm on my other computer.
It's Lauren. I'm on my other computer.
Okay. No problem.
I didn't realize that on my other computer I have like a nickname on my Zoom. It's weird. Okay. But I really am so happy that we have these every day. Like, I've only been on three of them so far, but I've just been, like Maria was saying, this is what I look forward to every single day. Like, this is what I crop my entire schedule around the last 3 days, this Zoom call. It's interesting that, you know, I think it was either towards the end of the meditation or towards the end of your talk that you mentioned that we're not alone in this and that we don't have to go through, this healing process alone, which has always been a struggle for me, because I feel like I've been programmed since I was young to do everything by myself. And I've always been so self-reliant and so self-sufficient, since I was a child. It's just the way the way my cards were dealt. It's still the way my cards are dealt. Like, if I don't do for myself, nobody does for me for myself. So like, even in this space, the safe space, the sacred space that we hold with each other and for each other, with these lovely, lovely beings from around the planet and of all ages and all ethnicities and all cultures and orientations, I mean, it's still hard for me to feel vulnerable, you know, and I think that's more of a personal thing. But I think it was interesting today for me, because usually I've always felt more comfortable with masculinity, like masculine beings. And so when I call upon like a higher power, I always end up calling upon God. But for the first time today, I actually called upon Mary Magdalene, because I did read the Mary Magdalene book. I forget which one you posted, but I did read it. And it was like so different of an experience today for me. And I think that was a really good part of the healing process for me, because allowing that feminine energy to take care of what was I needed for healing today, which was letting go of the last couple of days. I've been trying to let go of situations that have happened to me and in certain areas of my life, through the meditative processes, but also in that process of like part of me not being able to let the light in, is in those situations, I haven't been able to forgive myself, which is that blockage to not letting the light in. So I've been trying to, in the process of doing these meditations with you all, forgiving myself. So I think part of that is also coming into contact with my feminine energy and accepting my feminine energy, because I have been to a number of like talks or meditations recently where people have mentioned meditating with your feminine energy, and that's very an uncomfortable space for me, just given my background and what I've been through. It's just been so wonderful, because I think I've noticed such a difference in the last 3 days since we've been doing this. Or since I should say, since I've been participating with you all, like, I've just been able to breathe more. Like, I feel my soul more. I mean, I feel more grounded. I feel I'm going out and meditating in nature. I feel more just myself. I can't even explain it. Like, there's so much more beauty in my being than I felt in months. Like, I just, you know, coming from a place of just feeling so emotionally numb all the time, like, I'm actually feeling things. Like, it's not even negative. I still feel there's still spots in the day where I don't feel anything, but I mean, I'm feeling positive things. And I'm like, I went for a meditation, I think 3 days ago. I went to the woods and sat down and I felt joy. I felt that what you were talking about, Seema, in the meditation, like you feel that light potential, you feel that anticipation, you feel that presence of what your light is and what that can be for you. And you feel what that light can be when it's at like its full capacity. Like I know, like for me right now, I've been running on like a fourth of what my light capacity is at my depression. Mm-hmm. And like, it scares the hell out of me of what it could be at full capacity at 100. Like, imagine what my light could be at like 100%. Like, I'm a nurse. Like, I take care of people. That's just what I do. Like, I'm not obviously right now, but it just scares me sometimes. And I think that's one of the other blockages I run into, because it's like, what would I, like, how would I rock this world if I was at like my 100% capacity? Like, what would I do? Like, how would my light shine? Like, what joy could I bring to this world? Like, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is like, I'm so blessed and thankful to just be in the presence of all you lovely people. And just thank you so much for the gifts of all your wisdom and everybody here. And thank you for allowing me to share in this space and feel safe. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much for your beautiful heart. Thank you. Hey, hi, Grace. Hi. Oh, you know what? I think we're having trouble hearing you. So,
can you hear me?
Now, talk again.
Can you hear me okay?
That's
better.
Yes, that's okay. Better. Yeah.
I just want to express my gratitude for this group of lovely people and for this space also. This past week, I've been really feeling into some of the collective fear and the collective heaviness. And myself being in service, you know, I've been recording guided meditations for the community and holding community calls as well. And part of me was really struggling with, you know, I feel a lot of this heaviness and a lot of fear as well with the lack of control, you know. So I think one of my greatest learning challenges for this period of time is just learning that, hey, we can't control everything that's going on around us, really can't control anything that's going around us. And I saw this post earlier today about, you know, if we can't go outside right now, everybody, let's journey inside. And I thought that was super powerful. And one of the reasons why, when I got your email last night, Seema, I was like, I need to do this for me, you know, because it's one thing to be able to provide service for other people and also to understand that sometimes those of us who are in service also need help ourselves, you know, and we also need that support as well in that community. So I just want to say thank you to everybody here and, yeah, express my gratitude for this space.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Barbara. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Yesterday I had been in isolation for a week, and so yesterday I went for a walk to be in nature, and being the first day of spring, I wanted to make offerings to the earth. And where I live, there's a lot of snow, but I found this patch that was facing the east, and I found this grass, this green grass, and so I just spent some time connecting with Mother Earth and And then I came in and from being out, and then there was this YouTube from this medical doctor, emergency doctor in Toronto. And I was feeling his feelings as he was talking on the YouTube, and I could feel his frustration. I could feel fear. I could feel anger at the government for not being strident about telling us citizens of Ontario how we're supposed to behave. And he was telling us, like, don't go out unless you absolutely have to. And he was very descriptive about what he was experiencing in ER and what the virus was like. And he was describing the virus as very smart and behaving very differently than how the virus had behaved in China and other parts of the world. And anyway, it brought up a lot of fear in me, and I decided, well, for now, I'm just going to retreat. I'm just going to retreat and use this as an opportunity to really, really go inward. And yesterday, I normally don't eat any wheat products, but I had this organic flour, wheat flour, and I decided to make myself some pancakes, blueberry pancakes with blueberries. And I must have had an allergic reaction, because this morning my lungs were in a lot of distress. I was hacking. I was coughing. I used my Ventolin puffer, and I was sneezing, and it felt like I was getting a flu, and I was going, oh, no. And so I, you know, went into meditation this morning, and you know, the answer was it's just your body is flushing out. It's not used to having wheat. It's just flushing it out. Your body knows what it's doing. It's no panic here. Just let your body do what your body needs to do. And also the message was like, really, this is a time for me to be really clean about how I'm eating. And there was a time when I was like a vegan, and then when I moved to Northern Ontario where it's colder, I went back to picking up fish and chicken and dairy and cheese and eggs, and then eventually I had the big red meat and brought that back into my diet. And it's like my body is saying, no, dear heart, like, go back to high vibrational eating. Your body wants that. So listening, you know, learning to listen and be obedient, you know, because I have a history of being an addict, right? So yeah, there's a real history of not wanting to be obedient. So, but, and then in the meditation, I was really aware of, I have a lot of grief inside me, and my little lungs. I was born premature. I was 3 pounds when I was born, and I was in an incubator, and I was connecting with that little baby. Anyway, I was connecting with, for me, all my life. I've had a hard time taking deep breaths. I've had a hard time really using my lungs. And it hurts when I do that. So I was, which I guess is why, you know, my practice in rebirthing has been really good for me, because it forced me to breathe and accept that gift of breath. So yeah, the meditation was powerful for me because, you know, it was encouraging me to be gentle with all this and encouraging me to be gentle in the pain. And, but I was able to connect with my spirit, which is much grander than this physical body and grander than this sense of a baby in a incubator. And that felt very, very good. But I'm aware there's a lot of grief, you know, that wants to come out. And and that's okay. You know, that's okay. Yeah. And, you know, like, oh my God, like my mother was this clean freak, you know, clean, clean, clean person. And so like when I started getting symptoms with my lungs last week, I was going, you better clean your house in case you go to the hospital because your house has to be clean. And I've been like crazy, like, you know, I should be like resting and taking care of myself. And every spare moment, okay, I'll tackle. So yesterday I was, my desk in my office at home is just piled with papers. So I was going through those papers and shredding papers like crazy. But I had this sense of franticness. I got to get this done in case I'm in the hospital. Like, what will people think when they come in here in the place? Oh my God, just crazy, just absolutely crazy. So yeah, what happened for me in the meditation was just like there was a shift. Like, you know, if you feel like you can shred things, be gentle in the shredding, and it's okay. You know, like it shifted. It felt like I don't need to be driven about this crazy cleaning program that I have in me, you know? So, So there's also laughing at me about, you know, nice laughing, but finding humor and wanting to be in control through cleaning, you know? So anyway, very grateful for this. Tomorrow I have a Zoom class with my students around this time, so I won't be able to join, but I just want to tell you, Seema, how grateful I am for your service to life and for everybody for joining. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Susan? Yeah. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I think I'll tell that little story I told you.
Please. Yeah, I was hoping you would, but I didn't want to put any pressure. So yeah, I was hoping you would. Yeah, please.
I was thinking about Maria. I'm not sure if she's still there.
Yep, she's here.
Yeah, I wanted to see her.
Yeah.
Sometimes my mom passed away just over 2 years ago, and we're very close. And I found that when I journal, sometimes she'll pop in and write with me, write to me, I guess is what it is. And so a few days ago, when I was at the height of, I guess, well, I don't know what the height is anymore, but I just was feeling very anxious. She just came so clearly and said, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm here and, you know, it's going to be so beautiful. And this was, you know, at a time when I really wasn't even getting those messages, those good messages from out there yet. So it was quite striking to hear that. anyways, my mom, we're Italian and background. I don't speak Italian, but my mom and I used to, she spoke Italian, and so we used to have an expression where we, just to calm ourselves down, she would say, non ti preoccupare. Did I get it? And which means, don't worry, right? And so, anyways, I had to smile when that came along, and I just remember that a lot. And when I met you, Maria, through this, I knew I had to. Oh, thank you, Rajima, for talking about grieving, and the pain has been so present for me in my chest throughout this time, and I see it come and go, so I just remind myself that what it is you know, stress, and that I can help myself with that and not be afraid of, you know, my worst fears and everything. I was feeling that relief too this morning. I woke up and I felt that it was like it was a lot quieter there, and I wasn't feeling the pain, and I was feeling gratitude. I just woke up saying thank you, and surprised me. And some nice things are unfolding. I had an idea yesterday to start an online, a virtual sketch group for a group of people that I go to be with on Wednesday mornings, and I'm missing them terribly, and that, you know, experience. So I started this group for the whole gallery, so everybody can join, and I'm going to post pictures that people can paint, and then show us what they did. So it was just fun to have something, you know, that would be helpful, and it was fun to do. I'm not feeling quite there about helping more than that, though, like with my clients. I don't feel there yet, and I just need to honor that and take care of myself, I feel right now. So, and my mom said that too. And she reminded me of that too. She says, you know, she said, now's the time you have to rest up and there will be balance in the future too. There will be balance. That's just, there won't be struggle like you know it now. But a lot of this stuff doesn't feel that unfamiliar to me, you know, in my life. Certainly to a, you know, a greater extreme in some ways, but very familiar. The tightness, the, you know, just that the voice of fear. I know it well, and so like many of you do, and have spoken about. So I am so like everybody. I'm so grateful to you, Seema, for bringing this to us, and for everybody to show up and be present. And I really feel your good energy, and like I think as Flora says, yeah, I really look forward to this time. Last night I thought, oh, I have to put my lipstick on. I got to get my lipstick on for 11 o'clock. That's my mom's spirit too. You would say, put your lipstick on, sister.
Beautiful.
But yeah. Thank you.
Ah, that's so, I just so beautiful what you did. So yeah, I think Maria wants to respond here. Here we go. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me keep you both unmuted.
Thank you, Susan, for this little tour into the Italian language. And I would like to share with you all the meaning, the literally meaning of non ti preoccupare. It means, don't occupy yourself before it occurs. Preoccupare. Don't mind before it happens. So this is a very positive reminding about how to deal with life. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Maria is a linguist as well.
Yes. Yes. That's true.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Don't worry yourself with that which has not occurred. Preoccupied, right? Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Thanks. I'm glad, Susan, you shared that, because it was obviously so helpful for all of us, and, you know, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. So we have a couple more minutes. So if no one is wanting to share, what I just wanted to kind of put out there, and Susan, you kind of helped me with that, is if you think about a fever or you think about an illness in medicine, we would learn like day one, day two, day three, day four, you know, there would be all these stages, and it would be like a wound. On day one, it would look this way. Day two, day three, it would just be that way. And if we can all, whether we have it or don't have it, I mean, I spoke with my ex-husband and it was very grounding, because he was saying, you know, some of us are going to get this, you know, it's going to happen. And despite everything we do, it just could happen. But most of us are going to really be okay with it. That's what's going to happen. So whether we get it, how we're going to get it, the testing, I mean, obviously the mind energy can spin in that direction. And if it does, then we want to use our tools to help us. But let's just think about, like, we are in this very weird, unusual situation. And so let's continue to ask ourselves, if I'm in this thing together, we each are infected in some ways with the fear virus. Let's put it that way, the fear virus, right? And to some degrees, and sometimes it's up there, right? There's like waves and waves, and sometimes it's down there. And so let's just, in this self-isolation, the self-quarantine, all these names that are being used, let's like self-assess, you know, let's self-assess. Where am I today? What is my energy asking of me today? What is it saying? No, you can't do that today, Seema. Don't even think about that. That is not going to happen. You know, like, it's just not, you know. And someone was talking about how she's knitting a sweater or something like that, you know, like that's what she's being called to do. So just for us to say, in the now, in this moment, in the now. And if I am in a situation where whatever I've had could get aggravated, could get a little, like if I have a sense of this anxiety or if I have this grief, like now it's going to be more, or now it could be more tender. So if I'm in this like day one, day two, day three, like where am I? Am I really out of it, where I feel like, yes, now I have something that I can give? Or am I, like Susan is saying, yeah, I'm out of this, but I can do this. But that, nope, I can't quite do that. And to just really be honest with ourselves, because I really feel, I mean, it's always that ego mind that's going to hijack and try to make us wrong somehow. Like something is not enough, or it's not quite right, or, you know, you're missing the mark, or all of that. And we can just say, hey, I'm in a state of self-quarantine right now. You know, I'm in a state of self-isolation. And I'm here to take care of myself. And I remember as physicians how many times myself or our colleagues were sick and we weren't asked to stay home. You know, we weren't given that permission to stay home. It was just like, you know, medicine yourself up and show up. Medicine yourself up. And I remember people, like, you know, really struggling. And then if you did take off, you'd be like, or you're a wimp. Like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you work through that? So now I see them like, you got a sore throat, stay home. You got this, stay home. And I'm like, thank you. Like, that's how it should be for us. You know, we're people too, you know, we're. So I feel like the world was upside down and it is turning over. And let's not go back into our old patterns. Let's not, like, let's use this time and say, okay, if this is what it is, then let's self-care. Because as I care, then I truly am contributing to that wave of love. Like, I'm really in that broadcast.
And it's felt in me, and it's going to be felt by every mind that thinks of you. They're just going to know, you know, they're going to feel it, whether you say it or not. And I feel like if we're talking about like building a herd immunity, that enough people build that up, then we don't get sick. Think of that as like a virtual immunity that we're all powering together by each of us just doing our part. Just what is our joy? You know, this is a world, like I said, it was built on sacrifice, on obligation, on it doesn't matter how you feel, you just push through it, stuff your emotions, don't talk about it, pretend. We can go on and on and on, put a smiley face on it. You know, these are not going to work. It's got to be real. It's got to be honest. It's got to be transparent, because that coronavirus is like this, I feel like it's a magnet. It's like this purifier. It just wants to take all that out of you. And I was reflecting on it, and I could feel like it was telling me, you understand what I'm here for. Thank you. Like, you understand, you know, you're getting me. I'm not this monster. I'm here to heal. I'm here to, you know, this in China where they never saw blue skies, it was always gray because everything was about productivity and how fast, how right. You know, blue skies coming out and a culture that's, Asian cultures tend to be about, you know, pressure and obligation and you have to do it and people volunteering, not out of obligation. Think about that from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. So, so I just want to leave us with that we are in this unusual quarantine, vulnerable, gentle state. And so it's not business, you know, back to business, right? Like watch the mind where it's like, let's just get back to business. You know, I should just get back into whatever. So I feel like if we can each just be kind and loving and caring and generous right here, then we will offer that, right? Because we're doing it here and then we'll witness it there and we'll invite others. So I just want to leave you all with that thought. Okay. So I think we're at time. I went a little over. So let me just unmute everyone so you can kind of say hello or.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. That was great as always.
Okay.
Hello. That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. See you all tomorrow. Thank you so much. Much love, much blessings, much gratitude.